Hello and welcome to another edition of Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? How was the holiday season for you? Hope it was well. Hope you guys stayed safe, masked up, all kinds of things like that, that we can keep things going further and onward and upward in the season. We'll get to the reason for that here in a second as we get to some Black Bears things, some Team Maryland things, some Stevenson University things, some news coming out of Reisterstown about what's going to happen with their season. And we'll talk about some players as we get going here on the first edition of the Chesapeake Hockey Week here in the new year, 2020. Happy 2022, or, well, 2021. Let's not relive 2020 all over again. So 2021's here. Happy, healthy to all of you. The Black Bears were supposed to play on the NAHL schedule. I'll set this out for here. From what I saw on the NAHL schedule on their website, January 1st and 2nd were the game days. There was an email that circulated amongst season ticket holders and staffing and things like that that said that the games were then set for the 4th and 5th because of scheduling situations with Ice World, it being in very high demand since it's one of the few rinks that are still open in the state of Maryland. And then things kind of trickled downhill from there. And the games in and of itself, along with protocols from players coming back for the main Nordique side, their training facilities being shuttered for a bit due to regulations and travel back and forth, didn't make sense. So they postponed it to a later date. We'll see what happens going forward with that. Therefore, there is no games this weekend. So they will get back into it this coming weekend in New Jersey, as they play the Titans once again, and we will see what this team can do out of a long break, about a month, I want to say, since this team last played. So we will see what happens there. However, they will be without Thomas Jarman, as Thomas Jarman has decided to leave the NAHL and start his career in college playing for Boston University, who have yet to take the ice just yet for the season, due to their own regulations and things like that. So Jarman is leaving the Black Bears and will join the Terriers once they get started. Jarman, one of the original, the OG Black Bears, played 98 games, all for the Black Bears, 7 goals, 18 assists for 25 points and 212 penalty minutes. He sits only behind Luke Mountain for all times games played. And Luke Mountain will continue on his season. Big defenseman, 6'3", 201, stay-at-home guy, but when he was called upon, hammer shot, always had a big, heavy shot coming from the point. He also very big physical presence, very active in the defending side of things, so he should play a good style there in Boston University. Second year in a row that Boston University has plucked a Black Bear mid-season. Last year, if you remember, Wilmer Skoog, who was also an alternate captain for the Black Bears, plucked off mid-season by the Terriers, and now we've got Jarman going onward, upward, maybe a little better terms. I don't know, but Jarman deserves it. He's a guy who definitely has paid his dues, done things to be better, and just overall, you know, a good guy, a good quiet person, but you know, very loud voice on the ice and in the locker room. So, really good kid, getting a really good chance. So, tip of the cap to Thomas Jarman, who will go on and upward, and we will have to keep track of him in the Maryland Black Bears alumni segment. Which, how about that? We have one of those right now, as it was announced this week that Andrew Takis, who was with Chicago of the USHL, and now he is with the Amarillo Bulls in the NAHL, if you're scoring at home or even if you're alone. Takis, who is a Dunkirk, Maryland native, so he also falls into that players portion of the situation. Sorry, he was with Waterloo, not Chicago. Didn't see any action with Waterloo and the Blackhawks in the USHL, and now we'll see some action, hopefully, with the Amarillo Bulls there in the South Division. Division he played last year with the Odessa Jackalopes. So a place he's somewhat familiar with from his 10 games over there last year. So a tip of the cap to him and what he's doing going forward. While Cooper Black gets his first action in the aforementioned Odessa Jackalopes, they took on the Shreveport Mudbugs. Black in net for that. 4 goals against, lost 4-3, but 41 saves in 59 minutes of work for Cooper Black as he gets going there back in the NAHL. And that kind of wraps it up for the alumni. I mean, if we want to get into the players portion too, we can also throw Aaron Randazzo in there, who had a shutout win on the 31st against the U.S. National Development Team. 34 saves in that winning effort for the Green Bay Gramblers. Gamblers, not Gramblers. It'll be something weird. So all three former goalies from last year, less Gavin Abrick. So they will they get some time here in the alumni portion of the show. And good luck to those guys going forward. And hopefully, especially with Takis and Black, we don't have to see those guys going forward into the playoff situation. Team Maryland, they get started back up here Thursday and Friday as the Protect Ducks come into town. Another long break for Team Maryland here as they've been off since the 16th of December. And they were kind of rolling, getting things going in a way, trying to get things back to where they were at the start of this season. It's been a little bit of a tough grind for them, as you know, we've seen ups and downs with this team. And even with the ups and downs, you look at the standings right now, second place, one game over 500. Goals against and goals for could be much better, but here we are. Even though they've only had 3 wins in the last 10, Team Maryland does have an upward trend, and this could be a team that is very much a force to be reckoned with some rest among them, and knowing going through the loop a couple times of these teams, how they play and what their style is and how to play against them and counteract that. So we will have to see what Team Maryland does going forward. Thursday, Friday, they get things going, and then good times ahead. As I mentioned, the Stevens University does have an update for both their men's and women's squads, as the UCHC has come to a bit of a decision on what they're going to do for this season. It looks like they're going to play, as they have a return to play update before the holiday break. February 19th is the tentative start date for conference hockey, provided it is safe to conduct athletic activity based on local, state, and federal guidelines going forward. One team has already opted out in the season. That is William Smith College, who shuttered down their entire winter programs for every sport, so they will not be playing on that one. Stevenson, the women's team, definitely very vocal about it, very excited to get back on the ice. Of course, they are the Middle Atlantic Conference champions there. They also had a decent run. They got to the Final Four in the UCHC last year before getting bumped out. And I think there's a lot to build on for Tori Amoff's team. And, you know, we'll have to see moving forward what they do. Men's squad, this is a team that also played well. They were ranked last year, I think up to 12th was the highest, 11th or 12th. Is what they were ranked up to in the D3 rankings. A little bit of a slide in the second half of the season for the Mustang men, but they were consistent. They got over Newman College in the playoff round and the play-in round, and then they dropped it as they were going forward in the playoffs. So we will see how these play out, what the schedule is going to look like, what the landscape really is going to look like with what Baltimore County allows, what the state of Maryland allows with the coronavirus and what happens and how things are open and this, that, and the other. So we will see. There is a tentative hope. A month away, we will be talking more Stevenson hockey, both on both sides of things. And, of course, if schedules do come out sooner rather than later, we will be right there with you to see how it all goes down, how it all shakes down, and where we're going. Quo Vadimus, where are we going? To end up this shortened pod, how about a little players? Some players situation. Mentioned Aaron Randazzo about his shootout win with the Green Bay Gamblers. Well, William Margell, the Potomac, the Potomac Maryland native, actually signed in Johnstown. He is now a Johnstown Tomahawk. Before that, he was playing in the USHL with the Madison Capitals. Last year, he played in the BCHL with the Coquitlam Express. Is a team that he played upon this last year. And then to start off the season, like I said, he played with Lincoln for two games. And then he was at the Capitals last year before going to Coquitlam. And then he played with the Lincoln Stars because of the border closing, and now he's a Johnstown Tomahawk. A goal and an assist in his first attempt in the NAHL throughout his career. So a big boost for him and a big boost for the Tomahawks, because Margell does have the ability to just light the lamp and produce. There was a time I think he had like a 17-game point streak. I mean, he's no slouch, and I think that the Tomahawks get a little bit better for that, which is kind of scary for the rest of the NAHL East division overall. Jason O'Neill of Providence had one assist in a win against Vermont as the Friars try to get back on the right track. Only the second point of the season, I believe, for O'Neill. We'll have to see how he progresses. Senior season, stop and go over there in Hockey East. Who knows when the next games are going to come, so we will have to keep our eyes peeled for that. And also have to keep our eyes peeled on Sam Annis. The Springfield Thunderbirds, which is the team that Annis was going to be assigned to because he was part of the St. Louis Blues organization, and that is their affiliate. They said that they will be one of three teams who are suspending operations for the AHL season, mostly due to cost-cutting measures or cost measures, because Springfield is one of 12 independent teams in the AHL, meaning that they are not owned by their NHL parent club. So Springfield, Milwaukee, and Charlotte will be the teams that are going to be shuttered down. And the Blues have said they're going to send their prospects to the Utica Comets for a season as the hiatus happens. And the Canucks and Blues will be responsible for filling roster spots on the Comets. Overall, Comets, another team that is independently owned but do have a straight affiliation with there. So Bobby Esch, who is the president of that team, is making sure that things have things are going to be a little bit blossoming in terms of what can happen for Utica. He's looking out for his team and what they're going to be able to do this season. So that's a good GM. Get your best players out there. You got to figure Annis is going to have some time in Utica from what he did last year. They would want a high-scoring guy like that, the overall AHL scoring leader, to be on that team. So we will see how things go on that front for Annis, and we'll keep, obviously, everyone updated as to what other players come along in the things happening now. An interesting update as we leave you here, as the state of Maryland updated their conditions for reentering and entering and being around in the state and travel, as Governor Larry Hogan, what you going to do when Larry Hogan gets his COVID test on you? He issued an emergency order requiring Marylanders to limit all travel. This was on the 17th of December, but the 28th, it kind of pertains to hockey in this instance, that people who do travel to Maryland must either obtain a negative test result or self-quarantine for 10 days. The only states of exception are Delaware, Pennsylvania, Virginia, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C. So when we look at this, and this affects the MSHL, in that any player personnel traveling outside of the bubble states, or bubble states and territories, not named above, they're prohibited from participating in MSHL activities until they obtain a negative test or after they quarantine for 10 days. You have to figure this might play into effect for the NAHL, for the Black Bears, and what's going to happen there with Jersey teams and Massachusetts teams. Johnstown's fine. So how that pertains to there. So the MSHL taking it upon themselves to make sure, hey, listen, get your ish together. We want everyone safe. We've gone okay so far, maybe. And now we move onward from here. So stay in that bubble or else. How will it go? What will it do? All this thing is fluid. Time is a flat circle. So we have that to end out on. This fun note of can they, will they, won't they? And everything. But that's just to fill time. Next week, hopefully, we'll have hockey to talk about. Have two Maryland Black Bears games. Have two Team Maryland games. Have more updates on Stevenson University. And hey, maybe even more updates on club hockey. Who's to say? But you guys have a wonderful start to your new year. Yeah, hope it stays well. Hope you guys stay safe. Wash your hands, wear your mask. And for Scotty Waz, I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. It's been Chesapeake Hockey Week on the Face Off Hockey Show Media Faction. Go to clutchandcrabhockey.com for things of that sort going up on there about Maryland hockey here, there, and everywhere. Twitter.com/ChesapeakeHWPod and Facebook.com/ChesapeakeHWPod. That's all I have for you guys this week. You be well. Play that Clutch and Crab Hockey, and I will talk to you next week on...